I want to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm not going to talk so much about the parsha, maybe very little bit about the end. I want to talk a little bit about Asar B'Teves. Tuesday is Asar B'Teves. And you know what happened on Asar B'Teves. The time of Bayisrisha, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, laid siege to the city of Yerushalayim. And that was the beginning of the process that led to Churban Beis Hamikdash, probably a year and a half or so later. But there's something very strange that takes place in the davening on Asar B'Teves. The minhag, at least amongst Ashkenazim, is that on the morning of Asar B'Teves, if you go to shul, there are certain slichos that are said. And in one of the slichos, it talks about three different events that took place in the month of Teves. It talks about the laying of the siege to Yerushalayim, which took place on Asar B'Teves. But it also talks about the death of Ezra HaSofer that took place on the 9th of Teves. And it also talks about the fact that the Torah was translated into Greek on the 8th of Teves. And what people want to know is, we're saying the Slichos on the 10th of Teves. Why are we mentioning events that happened on the 9th of Teves, on the 8th of Teves? I understand on Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah tells us that five events occurred on Tisha B'Av. The Meraglim, and both Churban Beit HaMikdash, and on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, there were five events that occurred on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the breaking of the Luchos, etc. But here, one occurred on the 8th of Teves, one occurred on the 9th, one occurred on the 10th of Teves. So why are you mentioning all three on Asar B'Teves? The Chassam Sofer has a fascinating suggestion. He claims that even though one occurred on the 8th of Teves, one on the 9th of Teves, one on the 10th of Teves, obviously in three very different years, in a certain way they all occurred on the same date. Now, how is that possible? One was the 8th, one was the 9th, one was the 10th. How could they all be on the same date? In Parshas Kisavo, in Chumash Devarim, we have the Tochacha. We have one of the two major rebukes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Am Yisrael, what will happen to them if they don't follow Torah and Mitzvos. And Chazal counted up and said that there are 98 klalos, 98 terrible things that will happen to Am Yisrael if they don't follow Torah and Mitzvos, mentioned in Parshas Kisavo. Says the Chassam Sofer, count from the beginning of the year, count from the first day of Rosh Hashanah, count 98 days. What will the calendar date be? So it depends. There are 2 months in the Jewish calendar, and even in our Jewish calendar, that don't have a set amount of dates. Every other month is either 29 or 30. The 2 months that change from time to time, those are the months of Mar Cheshvan and Kislev. Sometimes they have 29, sometimes they have 30. And sometimes Mar Cheshvan has 29 and Kislev has 30. Says the Chassam Sofer, if Mar Cheshvan and Kislev both have 29 days, day 98 is Asar B'Teves. If Mar Cheshvan has 29 and Kislev has 30, day 98 is the 9th of Teves. And if Mar Cheshvan and Kislev both have 30, day 98 is the 8th of Teves. Chassam Sofer suggests that the 8th of Teves, the year that the Torah was translated into Greek, the 9th of Teves, the year that Ezra Sofer died on the 9th of Teves, and Asar B'Teves, when the siege was laid, Each of those years happen on the 98th day of the year. Except one, Tishvan and Kislev, were 29 days each. One was 29, one was 30. One, they were both 30. But they all three events occurred on the 98th day of the calendar year, beginning with Rosh Hashanah. And that's what they all have in common. And that's why we commemorate all three, even though it's Asar B'Teves, but they all happen on the 98th day of the year. But one of those three is a little bit strange. I understand, certainly, that the siege was laid to Yerushalayim, why it's a day of terrible sadness. And I understand why Ben Ezra Sofer is a day of terrible sadness. But what was so terrible about translating the Torah into Greek? What was so horrible? Art Scroll does it all the time. Not to Greek. Maybe we'll do it into Greek at some point. Why was this something that the writers of the Slichot said, you know, we have to mention it together with the siege on Yerushalayim in the beginning of the Churban, we have to mention that the Torah was translated into Greek. What was so bad about it? So a number of suggestions, but I want to offer one. Why did the Greeks want to translate the Torah? Why did they want to see what was there? Because they had heard that the Torah has a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of chachma. And the Greeks were interested in wisdom. And they wanted to see what the chachma was that there is in Torah. And they appreciated the chachma in Torah. But it was only the chachma in Torah that they appreciated. Only the logical wisdom that they thought it had value. They thought it had value. But the ruchnius of Torah, the spirituality of Torah, that didn't interest them at all. And it's fascinating. Chassam Sofer points out that we say in Al HaNisim, we only recently finished saying Al HaNisim on Chanukah, that Bimei Matasyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Ivanov Kishamda Malchus Yavan Arasha Alamcha Yisrael Lahashkicham Torah Secha. We wanted them to forget the Torah. The Greeks translated into Greek. They seem to want to perpetuate the Torah. Why does it say Lashkicham Torah Secha? So read the next line. Ulahavira mechuke ritzonecha. We know that there are different types of mitzvot in the Torah. There are mishpatim, there are rules and regulations that are very logical. And then there are things that are chukim. There are mitzvot that don't seem to have any logic. The Greeks didn't like these chukim. Ulavira mechuke ritzonecha. Anything that's logical in Torah, yeah, if it makes sense, if it's reasonable, if it fits into our Greek reason, that's okay. But none of these chukim, none of these doing things just because God commanded. No God, no commandments. Everything's based on human reason. That's what the Greek philosophy was. And that was the danger. And the Torah was translated into Greek. Because the Greeks wanted to disseminate the Torah, but only the logical parts. No ruchnius, no spirituality. No God, no commandments, no mitzvot. Just pure reason. And if that's the attitude that a person has about Torah, that all that it is when we see things that are reasonable and fits into our understanding, they're good, and everything else we're going to throw out, toss aside, that's very dangerous. And that's why Chazal were very, very unhappy when the Torah was translated into Greek. Sometimes the issues of 2,000 years ago never go away. And even Bizmaneinu, there are some people who have an attitude when they open up Torah and they learn Torah. Sit down, it's okay. It's fine. They open up Torah, they learn Torah, Torah has to fit in to their philosophy, to their hashkafa, to their 21st century logic reason. If it makes sense to me, if it fits into my view of how the world should be, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu should run the world, of what's it expected, then it's all good and it's all fine. But if it doesn't fit into my hashkafat olam, nothing's wrong with my hashkafat olam. I'm perfect. I make perfect sense. So we just have to explain the Torah away. This isn't to be taken seriously, and this is only an allegory, and this will say isn't shayach, and here we'll find a reason not to do this, and here we'll say some things have changed, and we will... Because I'm in charge, and the Torah has to fit into what I think. There are no mitzvahs, in the sense that this is what you must do. There are no chukim, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Yeah, if the chukim doesn't, the chok doesn't interfere with my hashkafat olam, that's okay. But the danger that existed 2,000 years ago exists even bizmanena. And sometimes exists even within the circles that we travel in. When things don't fit in to what I think should be, we start trying to explain things away. They tell a story. I heard the story, a mashal, many years ago. There's a woman, who's a wealthy woman whose husband had passed away, and she decided she wanted to dedicate the Sefer Torah to the shul in memory of her husband. So she hired a sofer to write a Sefer Torah. She didn't know much about Sefer Torah, but she did know a lot about design. And so she decided she was going to design this beautiful mantle, the cover of the Sefer Torah that we put on the Sefer Torah when we give the Sefer Torah is carrying around the shul. You see, it's beautiful. She was going to design a cover to be the most beautiful cover around. And she hired a special designer and was going to spend, doesn't matter how much it costs, this was going to be the most beautiful cover around. Came time to the dedication of the Sefer Torah. They finished writing the last letters of the Sefer Torah. There's this whole big fanfare and a big mesiba. They roll up the Sefer Torah. They tie the gartel around the Sefer Torah. They take the mantle, this beautiful, gorgeous mantle of the Sefer Torah. They put it on the Sefer Torah. And it doesn't fit. It's too short. So they tug here and they tug there and they push here and they push there, and no matter what happens, it's not fitting on the Sefer Torah. It's not. So the rabbi says, I'm sorry, Mrs. So-and-so. It's just not fitting. She says, but it can't be. This was going to be, this cover can't be. So, but it's not fitting. It just doesn't work. You're going to have to get a new one. Can't be. She said, if I have an idea, the mantle's the right size. Let's just cut down the Sefer Torah a little bit. We'll make the Sefer Torah fit the mantle, fit the cover. But sometimes that's people's attitude. The Sefer Torah doesn't fit my cover. Well, adjust the Sefer Torah till it fits. The Gemara in Masechet Brachos tells us that there are four things that need chizuk. That you have to recharge your batteries from time to time. Torah, Masim Tovin, Tefillah, and Derech Eretz. Torah, it says, Rav Chazak ve'amatz. And that seems to be the source of the minhag that takes place in many, many shuls. That when you finish reading one of the Chamisha Chumshe Torah, as we will this week, Bezrat Hashem, read Pashas Vayichi, so we're finishing Sefer Bereishis, that after the Baal Kori reads the last pasuk, the whole tzibur says, Chazak, Chazak, v'nit Chazek. It's because even though we finished reading something, and we might be able to think that we can sit back and relax, etc. No. We have to push ourselves. We have to re-energize. We have to energize ourselves. There's always more. We have to be mitchazek in our Torah. Just because we finished Vayechi doesn't mean there isn't something else. We have to keep on pushing ourselves. And that's the minhag. That seems to be the source of the minhag. We're saying chazak, chazak, v'nitchazek. That's true when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, and it's also true when it comes to Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah, especially when you're here in Eretz Yisrael for a year, from time to time requires a reminder that we need to be mitchazek. Because we come in with very positive attitudes, and we really want to learn, and we really want to steig, and we want to get the most out of the year. But as time comes along, it's very natural, very human to get a little bit lax and to start taking things a little bit for granted and not taking advantage of the time that's available to us. So we need to be mitchazek from time to time. And if we're at Parshas Vayechi, there's no need to wait till Shabbos morning to say chazak, chazak, v'nitchazek. We don't have to wait till Vayechi is over to be mitchazek. And so therefore, I know that a lot of people are feeling under the weather. It's cold going around. Or what did Shoshi tell me? What she called it? The plague?
Plague.
Yeah. Right, there's the plague that's going around. I don't know if any parents are listening to this tape. And they're saying, oh, the bubonic plague! And why? So, we're only kidding about the bubonic plague, right? Okay. So I know people are feeling under the weather and it's a little bit hard, but yes, you need to get rest. But you also need to, we need to push ourselves a little bit and to take advantage of the time we have. We haven't had the regular Sunday night Seder in a couple of weeks because Baruch Hashem, we had Hanukkah. So now that we're back to a little bit of a normal schedule before we end the normal schedule because we'll be into finals, it's a great time to be mitchazek. So I think if we have a collective, each one to their neighbor, of telling them to be chazak, turn to your neighbor on your right, turn to your neighbor on your left, and chazak, chazak, and together, Bezrat Hashem, we'll all be mitchazek.